Welcome to another edition of Gamers with Coffee, The Commute. This is The Commute, but this is on the way home this time. And Clint here has been under the weather the last several days, or we would have done one sooner.
Sorry.
So, that's okay. You can be sick. You're allowed to be sick. It's all right. And then props to Clint for going to work today. Let's give a round of applause. That's not very loud applause.
That's fine. I'm driving.
Okay. Oh, is that what you call sliding around a corner onto the freeway driving?
No,
kind of more
I call
like Dukes
that,
of Hazzard.
I call it slaloming. But that's different or drifting in Japan.
Drift. You know. Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
All those streaks going past us like we're in the Starship Enterprise. Those would be cars, right?
Sure.
Okay.
We'll go with that.
We'll slow down just a little bit then. Points of light thing. Anyways.
We haven't gone plaid yet. We're good.
Yeah. If you see a bunch of lightning in front of the car, then who knows where we'll end up, right? So.
In a cornfield. Because this was all cornfield back a long time ago. Back in the 50s.
Like we exceed like 88 miles an hour.
Sorry.
You okay?
Oh, that's yeah. Okay. Cold. The cold is still getting to my throat.
Taking its toll.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we were going to just chit-chat about random craziness, kind of somewhat.
Kind of somewhat.
A few things, like terrain.
Terrain is good.
Yep, the podcast last night with the wife and the painting.
That was cool, actually.
Actually did some painting piece there for Clint there that came out pretty good.
I like it. I like the color contrasts and the, you know.
She's getting some skills, so we like to do our own terrain. I think we mentioned that before. So occasionally we kind of make things out of clay and then make molds out of that and then cast it out of resin. So it makes it for more interesting things. So I guess kind of touching on the paint thing from last night is Clint likes to do paint. You do a little bit with the airbrush though too, right?
A bit. Mostly just base coat stuff. Just getting either multiple figures done or with the case of the GW terrain, I'm going to use it to do the terrain in its base color because it's just so large.
Well, yeah, I would find it really handy if you were airbrushing large amounts. I think the other day I found a video of a guy on YouTube who actually had a really cool idea. He took all of his packing crates. It's like if you order something and it comes and it, you know, what can I say? Like you ordered a DVD player and the box is on the end of the product or... He had all sorts of odd-shaped stuff, and so he turned that into some pretty fantastic-looking otherworldly buildings.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's a really cool concept, because normally it would have just been, you know, tossed in a recycle bin or something, and it was put used to making terrain, so imagination.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the key to it all, I think, is a little bit of imagination, so... Some of the up-and-coming videos, too, are going to be on painting and some of the things we do, and try to get you guys into that also. But airbrushing is unique, so that I'll leave to Clint. He knows more about that.
Yeah, I still need to get the other airbrush. I just can't use the one I have, so...
Is that the one that...
Well...
Hurting your finger
It's a standard dual-action airbrush. Gravity fed. I mean, it's a beautiful airbrush, don't get me wrong. It works almost flawlessly, except my hand's just not right for it anymore. I'm too old.
Too old? You're not old yet.
Yeah, whatever.
More like your hands are bigger, but...
No, it's that, and
pushing down on the button.
It's my hands are too big, and because I'm having to hold everything in place to get the constant flow and everything, it is too hard on my hand at the angle that it starts cramping up, and then I can't hold things, and it's just too rough. The one I want to get with the trigger assembly that makes it look like an auto spray gun should work just fine.
That's more of like a mini version of what you'd paint a car with.
Yeah, exactly.
Really, really, really tiny.
It's got the trigger up front on the handle, and then you just manually dial in the paint flow from the back, which is kind of nice if you're not having to constantly move from one to another. If you're base coating, you basically want one... spray flow anyway. You want one set consistent airflow and one consistent jet of paint, if you will, or misting of paint. and then you can just keep moving from thing, you know, from product to product. Good example, the tanks for Team Yankee, where I was doing all those Soviet tanks. I just had them all on the table, and I just airbrush, 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 move the tank, airbrush, airbrush, move the tank, airbrush. And you've got one even coat out of one run. It also conserves your paint, if as long as you, you know, as long as you blend or thin it right. That I'm going to touch on that just for a second, Greg.
Go ahead. Yeah, touch on that. No.
So, Vallejo puts out an airbrush thinner, just like Testers does, everyone else does. And airbrush thinner is good. But Vallejo puts out a thing called Flow Improver. And it's actually not so much an airbrush mixed medium as it's just a kind of designed to inhibit the paint drying process, slows down that process. Well, everyone has found, and I've seen many articles and stuff online, that it works better as an airbrush thinner than it does actually the Flow Improver part to airbrush with. So people are buying the Flow Improver. So I guess technically by the term Flow Improver, it would work for an airbrush. But it's making it not dry out fast. So if you're using a gravity-fed airbrush, which means the cup's on the very top, and you don't have the cap on it, you're exposing it to the elements a little faster, it's less likely to dry out what's in the cup and not gum up the needle. If you've never airbrushed before, I mean, you're talking something much finer than a pencil tip for your needle and can be bent or damaged easily, but definitely plugs up easy if not careful. Sorry, tangent over.
No. That's some good information, actually, because I don't have an airbrush now. My tanks, I took them out and set them, you know, in sections on cardboard, and then I used that Team Yankee spray paint that you gave me.
Yep, the rattle can stuff.
Yeah, the rattle can, and actually it coated very well. However, the difference between a $13 or $15 can of spray paint and a $3 bottle of, you know, paint that you can put into the airbrush, see, there's a difference too, cost-wise.
Yes.
You're going to be able to airbrush quite a bit with very little money, it seems like, and from what I can see. And so that Flow Improver, that's a good idea there.
Yeah. Plus, a lot of companies now put out primers in the airbrush type paint. Vallejo does, James Workshop does, where you basically can prime indoors in the middle of winter or rain or whatever, just using the airbrush to primer. You've got a lot more control and a lot less stench.
Stench, really?
Oh, no. Yes, stench.
Okay.
Why not? I wanted to use a fancy term today. I did.
I don't know. It's just an interesting term to use, I guess, or definition for paint. Paint stench.
No. Primer, well, primer smells. I mean, that's the truth of matter.
That's true. That's true. I mean, you know, that's true. So, I mean, so then, therefore, you don't have to worry about upsetting other people in a house that you're at or causing a problem. So, I mean, whatever, take any safety precautions they tell you to, if there's any associated with it. We're not telling you guys to be crazy, but that sounds like fun. So that would probably be the next step, and especially if you have a lot to spray paint. So,
well, my thought on that, too, is if Ashley does want to get into airbrushing, then being able to use the airbrush primer is going to be a good way for her to do quite a bit in quite a bit of minimal amount of time. With not a lot of extra cost. I mean, airbrushes are a little more expensive, compressor and everything, you know, needed. However, like, the compressor I have is from Harbor Freight. It was $46 with a coupon, and it's the best airbrush compressor I've ever had.
Yeah,
just
that's
the way
cool.
It works. So there are ways to do it in a reasonable price, but they are expensive. The one airbrush I want, for example, is $180.
Yeah, but that's for the airbrush, so I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So, to start out with, and I mean, anymore, there's so much competition, it doesn't necessarily mean you get a better product because you pay more.
Yeah,
true. I have found that out on, boy, about everything in life. So, there's a lot of things you can get substantially less than what you think is top grade. And, you know, so it's a matter, I think, too, of what your preference is, what you want to use, or what you're comfortable with using.
And research. Not only price, but what do other people like the stuff? Look at quality. Look at complaints. Look for complaints. With an airbrush, it's a pretty simple process machine. It's like a, you know, an old style pistol. There's only so many mechanisms. It works the same. Doesn't really matter who makes it. It's not like there's a circuit chip running everything and it could fail electronically. But you still want to know, are you getting quality? Is the metal they use for the needle surgical grade versus just, you know, your cheap industrial and somebody sharpened it?
Is it going to rust out, or is it going to last?
You know, what's the coating on it like? Is it polished? The reason I say polish or coating is because obviously a slicker polish on your needle, either chrome or whatever they call, I can't remember the actual term, will help keep paint from sticking to it as it dries and gumming up less.
So they should look for something that's polished then.
You want something that's definitely a little higher quality. Now, higher quality doesn't mean ridiculous price tag. I mean, Iwata, Pache, even Badger, they make top-line airbrushes that are not ridiculously priced. Now, you know, you're still talking about $100, but that's $100 is, what, 10 times that of a paint can. You can paint 100,000 times, maybe not 100,000, but a lot more times with it.
Well, you're going to get your money's worth out of it.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, if you've never done airbrushing for models or just plain bought airbrush paint, squirted them in there and painted on a canvas or something, it's worth at least trying. Even if you buy a cheap airbrush and a can of compressed air that will power the airbrush, Badger puts out a reasonably priced canned air. It is just like canned air that you use to clean your computer, though. It will freeze up. It will not flow after a while. So you got to be careful how you use it. But in the interim, or touch-up work even, it works just fine. And it's not a lot of money.
Well, yeah, it saves you from hooking up the compressor, right? Firing everything up.
Yeah.
Is that it? Okay, so
well,
just for a couple of, I mean, I just look at it as just another way. It's like any other hobby, I guess. You're going to kind of want to expand if you enjoy it. And so for us, it isn't just about, like we said before, just playing the game. We want to do to things that, too. We'll make our own terrain. Kind of like for video games, you know, sometimes you just want to customize that controller.
Yeah.
You want to do something different. I even know people that buy parts, take theirs apart, and completely make something that is just their own because they have more fun gaming with it.
Yeah.
Just psychologically, so you know, and I know we don't talk too much about video games. I'm sorry about that. We were trying to incorporate a little bit of everything. Just right now, we're kind of excited about some of the miniature stuff we're doing. So that's probably why we're on that. But we plan on talking about a few other things too, because we would like to expand what we do into things like with a 3D printer. Maybe a laser cutter.
A laser,
down the road.
For sure.
The laser, I think, would be phenomenal laser. For customizing your own stuff.
We're going to be able to do so much with a laser, just not just gaming terrain, but just, you know, cases, holders, covers,
All sorts of
tile,
things.
You know, a whole bunch of things. Very least, cutting out patterns that we can cast in resin later. Because I still kind of like working with resin.
Well, working with resin is cool. I mean, it's. That's what you make out of it, really. It is all that, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, this little story is about to end, I guess. It's one of our shorter ones. Or somewhat. Well, not really, I guess.
Yeah, it's getting to be about average now.
We're okay, yeah. We're becoming more comfortable talking to everybody, so thank you for putting up with us and listening. Please try to spread the word and let others know about us. And I guess the next thing to do is see with these podcasts here, we're looking for your guys' feedback, because honestly, you have to upgrade to be able to do more. Well, upgrading costs a few $100, you know, at the site here to upgrade it. So it's kind of a steep upgrade to do. So in the meantime, we're trying to see if you guys are actually really interested in what we have to say and build an audience, and then we'll go ahead and we'll just expand it more, because I would like to get this listed on iTunes, because we can do that with this software here, so it can be listed there where people can pick us up and maybe get some more exposure too. So
indeed,
for right now, if you guys would spread the word, we'd appreciate it. Or and don't forget, like I mentioned in all of them, We only have a couple people subscribed to the YouTube channel, and in all fairness, the videos aren't there. We were going to get them up this week, and Clint was sick, so now probably in another day or two over the weekend, there'll be a few videos up anyways for you to look at, and then to this podcast. So if you guys can follow it or have your friends follow it, let them know
that we're here. Don't forget to check out the Facebook page.
Yeah, and the Facebook page.
A lot of photos there.
There's a lot of discussion there, and so it's gone from a little group to over 20, which may not sound like a lot, but it's actually starting to climb.
Yeah.
And there is quite a few people, and Clint's right. He uploads a lot. We upload a lot of photos of the things we're doing, and so it's becoming quite the active group, so you're more than welcome to join. Like on our podcast here that you're looking at, if you go to our main page, there is a link there for both of them, the Facebook link and the YouTube channel link. Both are to the bottom right of the screen. It should be right down there. It says Facebook link and YouTube link. Also in the tab, there's an About Us tab. It gives you the name of the few of us on this basic crew of ours, our little cast, and so on. So we thank you guys for listening. We're going to end this one. You guys enjoy the weekend. Right, Clint? Have a safe weekend. In our area, it's freezing, below freezing. So wherever you guys are at,
native free.
Enjoy it. Yep. Anything else, Clint? Or
no, that's all I've got for today. Until next time.
All right. Well, thank you, Clint, for being here and being a part of the show.
Yay.
Yay. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.